welcome to episode 11 of A1 Rediscovering Film. I'm your host, Juan, and today we're going to talk about frustration. Specifically, the frustration of buying and, yes, selling cameras online. So I'm in the midst of learning about the selling side of things, and boy, it's got its own set of headaches, just like buying has. So let's get started. I guess we'll start with buying cameras online because I have the most experience with that, having bought all of my film cameras online so far. As you know, those of you who have done this, you know it's a crapshoot. You do know that whether, you know, it's eBay or Etsy or what's the other one? There's one site whose name escapes me, but anyway. Or shopgoodwill.com if you haven't gone to that site for cameras. I bought a couple from there. Mixed bag as far as success. You don't know what you're going to get until you get it. And it does not matter, in the case of eBay, no matter what the description says, you can get burned. I've gotten burned a couple times with my purchases on eBay. Specifically, one of my dead Konica Auto S2s and one of my... No, actually, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to blame eBay for the Minolta X700s because I got both of those from Shop Goodwill. To Goodwill's credit, everything they sell as is with no implied warranties. So you know that you're taking a chance when you go to Goodwill's website and buy cameras from there. I actually have experience with Goodwill. I worked for worked at a Goodwill store for a short while, a few years ago, and I do know that, you know, they're taking stuff, donations. They're taking donated cameras and everything else from people, and you just do not know, and they have limited facility for testing. The folks who are looking over the cameras when the donations come in are not experts. They're good, hardworking folks who, well, you know, may or may not have ever worked in a camera store. I think there are some locations, though, where they have someone who may have worked in a camera store or who may be a photographer or may have been a photographer, either a hobbyist or even a professional. And they're looking to kill some time because they might be retired or semi-retired, and so they take a job like that, and they, you know, help out, and they can provide a little extra. I'm going to share some insight based on what I know from perusing shopgoodwill.com, is that there are some sites, some locations, Goodwill locations, that contribute cameras to the website where they apparently do have folks who know about photography. If you go to their site, make sure you read the description carefully of the item, and you will see how extensively the camera has been tested, if it was tested at all. A lot of times they don't test them. They just take them in, they clean them up. If it looks okay, they put it up for sale. Sometimes they don't even bother cleaning them up. In the case of the Auto S2s, they both came in not good condition at all. Whereas with the X700s, they looked good in both cases, but one of them I bought from Goodwill. One of them, when it arrived, even though the pictures looked great, when it showed up, there was sand in the camera and on the camera and in the lenses. And I cleaned that sucker up. I probably spent over an hour cleaning both the camera and the lenses. It came with two zoom lenses. And both of them, when you turn the focus lever or the zoom dial, you could hear the sand crunching as you turned it. And I worked my butt off trying to clear the sand out and hoping that the lenses would work afterwards. Mercifully, they did. But it took a lot of time and effort. But unfortunately, in the case of the first one, the capacitor eventually died, which is what happens with those X700s. It's one of the weaknesses of that. Those Minolta X-Series cameras, which is a shame because they're wonderful cameras to handle and use, and they have big, bright viewfinders. But those daggone capacitors, they just will give out eventually. They're going to, although there are some of the older ones, I guess, use better quality capacitors and they hold up better. And I'm not aware of, personally, any issues with them. You have to, if you're fortunate enough to see or find a Minolta X700 online, if it's one of the older models, and there are a couple online sites where you can check to serial numbers to verify whether or not you're looking at an older one or a later one, it would behoove you, before you take the chance, to research it and see if you can confirm that it is one of the older ones with the better capacitors. Otherwise, you're going to have a camera that's eventually going to die. Sadly, my current working X570 is starting to exhibit issues that I can only surmise are related to the capacitor in it starting to give out. So I have a feeling one day I'm going to try it out and it's not going to fire, and that'll be it. And it's time to replace the capacitor. And as I mentioned in my last podcast, I don't have the guts to do that work myself. I'm sorry. I bought all the materials, but I'm just afraid to take that chance. I do not trust myself. So my two X700s and potentially my X570 bricks, shelf pieces, whatever. In the case of the Auto S2s, the Konica Auto S2s, I bought one from Shop Goodwill and one on eBay. And both of them had problems. The one I bought from Goodwill, the rear lens element was loose, and the ring that holds it in place was missing, so there's no way to fix that. Otherwise, as far as the shutter worked fine. It was dirty when I got it. The meter works fine, but I can't repair the lens. And I kept hearing about how the Auto S2 is a better camera than the Minolta Hi-Matic 7S. And, a good camera is a working camera. I can't attest to whether or not the Auto S2 takes better pictures than the Hi-Matic 7S because I don't have one that works. I have a Hi-Matic 7S that works, and I love it. It's a great rangefinder camera. I love it almost as much as I love my frustrating but engaging Yashica Electro 35 GSN, which currently is up for sale and not getting any nibbles online, and we'll get into all the selling issue later. But these are things that you have to look out for. And if I were starting this process over again, I probably would have focused my search on looking at cameras in person where I can, either going to thrift stores or scheduling meetings with sellers who might be selling on Craigslist or on newspaper classifieds. Trying out the camera in person before you buy, I can't recommend that enough. I would say go to thrift stores. I know a lot of people are thrifting. I'm hearing that film cameras are kind of disappearing from the thrift stores because more and more people, as the whole film revival grows, more and more people are becoming of the desirability of certain cameras, and it's harder to find those. So they're probably putting them on eBay. And I think one of the reasons why I am having trouble selling my Yashica is that there are so many Electro 35s online on eBay for sale. And they run the gamut in terms of pricing. I've seen prices as low as $30 US and as high as $200 US. So I'm somewhere in the lower middle of that pricing-wise. And I've lowered the price a couple times, relisted it, but still no nibbles on that thing. And again, I may just keep it because I really do love the pictures it takes. I love how it handles. I bonded with it on a recent trip to the San Diego Zoo, and it's a camera that I'd like to keep. But if somebody is interested and will get more use out of it than I probably will, because I'm going to be focusing mainly camera-wise on my Canon A1 and the Hi-Matic 7S, and until it dies, the Minolta X570, because, oh, those Minolta X cameras are so sweet. The big, bright viewfinder, the ease of handling. There's just so much to recommend them. It's a darn shame about the capacitors. So, buying cameras. I probably don't have to tell you. I'm probably not telling any of you who have, you know, already gone through the process of buying cameras online. I'm not telling you anything new. I would say where you can, test something before you buy it. Go to the thrift stores, schedule a meeting with a Craigslist seller, and if you're going on Craigslist, I know that has its own set of frustrations and headaches and, frankly, risks. You're better off being able to test a camera in person. Go to if there's a shop in your town that sells used cameras. There are still a few camera stores around. And if you can, you're going to pay more, but you're going to get some assurance. You're going to know what you're getting, and you can make a decision on buying if it's quirky and doesn't feel right, or just plain darn isn't working. So as far as buying cameras online, if you want to take your chance like I have, be prepared for the frustration. Be prepared for having, you know, six cameras that don't work at all. Could be repaired, maybe, but, and if you have the skill to repair them, God love you. I don't. Well, now let's talk about selling cameras. And so far I have very little experience. I've only been putting cameras online for sale on, well, eBay, for the last couple of weeks. It's been quite the learning experience. As far as setting things up and describing the cameras that I will put up for sale, I thought back to the best listings I read when I was buying cameras. I used those as guides to help me. The best listings provide very detailed descriptions, very honest descriptions of the condition of the camera. And which, of course, reduces the likelihood of, you know, someone buying it and being pissed off at you and wanting their money back. So I was very honest in describing the cameras I put up. And again, what I initially put up was the Miyashika Electro 35 GSN, Minolta Hi-Matic E, and my Canon T70. All cameras I was selling with some reluctance, but again, I just have more cameras than I need, honestly. So that's why I'm doing this. I actually sold the Hi-Matic E. Got a sale. Got a bid. Was all set and ready to go, you know. And then I got an email from the buyer, and he said, please accept my apology, but I did not read the description fully or clearly, and so I would like to cancel the sale. I think the reason why is because after the sale was confirmed, after eBay said, hey, your camera sold, I went to, you know, do the shipping thing, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute, this guy's on the other side of the world, he's in Thailand. And I think the shipping costs scared him away, or her, I couldn't tell. One of those gotchas that I was not prepared for as far as selling. I just didn't think about that. The fact that, you know, people all over the world are going to be looking at these listings. And some person in Thailand saw my Minolta Hi-Matic E and said, I want that. And then probably they weren't thinking, nor was I thinking, in terms of what the shipping costs would be to send that bugger all the way around the world. So I'm sure that's what killed that one. I actually did have another sale, but it's not a film camera. It's my old Canon camcorder, which I put up because I just wasn't using it. I figured, when I was thinking about putting the film cameras up, I thought, you know what? What else is not getting any use, any at all, is my Canon camcorder, which is a nice HD camcorder. I bought it from on Amazon just over a year ago, I think, maybe a year and a half. And it's in almost pristine condition, except for a little bit of dust it's collected, which I blew off. That is actually being shipped today, so no problems there. This was a domestic sale, thank goodness. But my film cameras are still, the remaining ones are still sitting. I haven't relisted the HiMatic E. I'm probably not going to. I might hold on to it again for a little while and maybe put it up again. I think timing is key because I know for a fact with the Yashica Electro 35, there's a glut of those things online. There are so many listings, it's ridiculous. And the pricing runs wild across the board. I mentioned in the earlier segment just how wide that range of pricing is. You don't always know what you're going to get at the low end, but most of the sellers at the higher end are selling either refurbished or cameras that they've used and swear are in good condition. So it's still a risk, though, with the Yashica Electro because I don't know if you're familiar with the old pat of death issue. But it is real, and it does happen with a lot of them. And I've read of some, folks who bought the Yashica Electro online, and it might have been like with my Minolta X series, it worked fine for a short while, and all of a sudden, pat of death goes, and you got a shelf piece, unless you're willing to go in and fix it. And I get all the credit in the world to those do-it-yourselfers out there. Hey, I got some cameras for you if you're interested in taking on a new project for a few bucks. Selling on eBay, it's challenging. It's interesting. I'm like I said, in the process of learning, and it does have its own headaches. Like for instance, because my first confirmed sale, the camcorder is new. It's like I didn't realize I wouldn't be getting payment right away. According to what I read, because I'm my status as a new seller, it's like 21 days before I get payment for this thing. Did not know that. Wish I had known that before. I guess I can understand the reasons why, but it's like it's a little gotcha that I didn't know about. And I suppose the more I get into this, the more I'm going to run into these gotchas. So anyway, to the gentleman in South Carolina who is purchasing my Canon camcorder, you're getting a good camcorder. I just hope it holds up for you because it's worked for me the few times I've used it. In fact, I tested it before I put it up online because I didn't want to lie. It works. It works wonderfully. And it should continue to do so. I can't imagine why it wouldn't. Oh boy, I don't know how much more I'm going to sell on eBay because the experience again, frustrations. Maybe I can learn these things and get the hang of these things and get better at selling. Maybe my description of the HiMatic E should have said, "Hey, I'm in the States. You might not want to make a bid on this if you're overseas because the shipping costs will probably frighten you away." What are you going to do? I hope this info is helping. As I get more adept at the selling side of things, I'll share more with you, share more insights, unfiltered, unfettered, because I'm not beholden to anybody as far as that goes. If there are some things that I don't think are quite right, I'm going to tell you about them. The whole delay in the selling thing and the whole delay in getting paid, honestly, before you sell, they don't tell you that. I didn't find out until I was purchasing the shipping label through PayPal that I wasn't going to get paid for the camera right away. That made me want to scream. As more and more of these things come up, I will share them with you because I think it's something that if you don't know about them, maybe you already do and you're laughing at me, but if you don't know, I think you should be told. So. Keep your fingers crossed for me. Say a prayer if you're so inclined. Because I'm going to probably try eBay out for, a little bit longer and see how it goes. But in the meantime, go out there and do you hear the whining cat in the background? I don't know if you can or not. She gets finicky certain times of day. Anyway, go out there and shoot some great pictures and share them with the world and enjoy the process of film photography. It's wonderful. And I'll be talking to you soon. Thanks for listening.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.